Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Diara from Detroit is some character. How some character is she? In no specific order, a teacher coping with divorce, a missing person, the city's underworld, and extreme rabbit hole. Learn all about BET Plus's new series that starts this Thursday when creator, executive producer, and star Diara Kilpatrick joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, here comes The Network, and a new NFL series, a docuseries at Netflix, and our new classic trivia question with an extra prize twist. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, the Zencast Community Network, YouTube Music, and many more great podcast venues. It's just in. Tomorrow will be televised. Today's special episode is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon, 45 degrees at the top of the hour. Wherever you are, we welcome you to a Tuesday afternoon edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. A wonderful guest coming your way over the course of this half hour and change, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in wherever you are, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country, around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And you can also be involved by using our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So check it out. SimonApple04 is the name of the room. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And before we get underway, I want to thank all of you who tuned in to yesterday's episode, which featured the director and executive producer of Little Wing, the Paramount Plus movie, Did Israelite, and two executive producers from the new Peacock unscripted series, The McPhee Dynasty, Real American Cowboys, Russell J. Stiglitz, and Brendan Buck. We're happy to tell you, thanks to all of you out there, in less than half a day, that episode became our most listened to episode on Blog Talk Radio so far this month. And on Zencast Community Network, we have already received, in less than half a day, over 30 replays. So thank you very much to Zencaster and all of you out there on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, for checking this episode out. We really appreciate it, and our guests do as well. Diana Kilpatrick from Deanna from Detroit on BET Plus begins this Thursday. She will join us after these news notes. Can the original-minded television series make good offering as few originals as they wish each week? We should say an original-minded television network. Well, we'll start learning April 30th when The Network launches on most smart TV sets and devices. Ad support and independent-owned, The Network will put out a pair of first-run scripted series or movies per week, a drama on Tuesdays, a comedy Thursdays. The opening week pair, The Green Veil, a science fiction series with Native American overtones and John Leguizamo starring, and Chivalry, an entertainment world satire with Steve Coogan and Sarah Solomon, or Soleimani, as creators and co-stars. Now, for those of you that may think that what we just shared with you was a pre-April Fool's Day joke, consider this. The press release was that we got to give you this story was put out by, just a couple of hours ago, by 42 West. They are among the top entertainment public relations studios and agencies in the United States. So they must think it's very legit, and so for that matter, so will we. And that's despite the fact that as of 2 o'clock this afternoon, the story has not been reported by The Hollywood Reporter, by Variety, and by The Wrap. Nevertheless, we're going to contact 42 West after we finish with today's episode, and we are going to invite the people behind The Network to be on this program either this Friday or next week, and we will keep you posted. Netflix is reteaming with NFL Films and Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions on a new pro football docuseries. The collaborators behind Quarterback will organize Receiver, a profile of five NFL top wide receivers over the course of this past season. Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown are the players under the microscope, which expects to reach network consumers this summer. And I'll have more news note quickies after the bottom of the hour. So we should have any moment Diara Kilpatrick from Diara from Detroit. Again, it is a BET Plus original series. It's also one of the first productions of BET Studios. And by the way, Kenya Barris, who is one of the co-owners of BET Studios, was involved as executive producer in this series. And as soon as Diara picks up the phone and makes the call, which we expect at any moment, we will bring her to you. In the meantime, I want to let you know that our next regularly scheduled episode of Smart Money Televised comes your way this Friday. And joining us at the top will be co-managing partners of a fast-rising production company involved in the world of unscripted reality television. It's called INE Entertainment, and their names are Mark Koops and Eric Day. They'll be with us the first half hour, and they've got two, not just one, two original series that are coming up over the course of this weekend and the final week of March. One of them, which will be on March 22nd, this Friday, is called Surprise and Seek. You might say it's a combination of Double Dare and Hide and Seek, and it'll be running on Prime Video in their Kids Plus unit. The second show, and very ambitious, is called Carpe Diem with Juanpa. It features Mexican internet personality Juanpa Zurita, got 34 million plus followers. He goes around the United States Route 66 fashion, teaming up with people to take on very unique adventures like riding a bucking bronco, or scaling Mount Rainier, or flying a combat plane, and more. We'll talk about INE, how Mark and Eric got involved to make this happen, and we'll get their thoughts on the state of unscripted reality and game show television and where they stand about its future. That's Mark Koops and Eric Day from INE Management. They'll be our opening guests on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And remember, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, like Monday's great episode about Little Wing and the McBee Dynasty, Real American Cowboys, you want to go anytime, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And you can also check us out at our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, for the fine people on Podium, as well as the 46 wonderful podcast venues that take this program, such as Amazon Music, Audible, Acast, Odyssey, Bullhorn, as well as the folks that were on Google Podcasts and now are available on YouTube Music. So don't forget, 24/7, catch us at our homepage, catch us on our website, catch us on our podcast venues. They're all great to check out, and we want to hear from you what you think. So don't forget to email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and you can also find me on Facebook and social media, Facebook and X or Twitter, as well as LinkedIn. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. So while we wait for Diarra, let's give you our new classic trivia question that we introduced on yesterday's episode, and we introduced it with a special extra prize twist. I'll explain. So let me give you the question. There are seven prizes in play. If you've been checking us out the last few months, you know about them by now. We've got the Uber card from AMC Networks. We've got the wonderful Redbox movie night from Crackle Connect, the 2024 American Express pocket calendar. We've got Lifetime's Women in Rock CD and the Chicago Greats Hit CD, and two wonderful books, Jeff Melbourne's Running the Show, Television from the Inside, great hit on Amazon, big bestseller there, and from University of Southern California professor David Craig, Apocalypse Television, How Did the After Help End the Cold War? And all that can be yours if you know the answer to this question that we introduced on yesterday's episode. And it deals with the popular 1950s series on NBC, Martin Kane, Private Eye. It was a very unique show. It was live. It was a mystery show. And more than one actor played Martin Kane in the course of its run. So that's our question. How many actors played Martin Kane, Private Eye? How many actors played Martin Kane, Private Eye? Now, if you give us the answer and you also give us the names of all the actors, you have to give us all the actors who played Martin Kane during the course of that run, you will also get an extra book prize. It's James Swanson's The Deerfield Massacre, his brand new best-selling book. James Swanson was on this program last week. He is the author and the inspiration and executive producer behind Manhunt, the popular new Apple TV Plus docuseries about the search and capture of John Wilkes Booth, the person who assassinated Abraham Lincoln. Excuse me there. So, once again, the question. How many actors played Martin Kane, Private Eye? And for the bonus, the extra bonus prize, James Swanson's new best-selling book, The Deerfield Massacre, name all the actors who played Martin Kane, Private Eye. We must have all the actors, and the names must be correct. So if you know all that, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win. If you just give us the how many actors play Martin Kane, you win all seven prizes no matter what. And if you add on the names of all the actors, and they must be exact answers, and they must have all the names, you will also get James Swanson's new book, The Deerfield Massacre. And, of course, if you are a previous winner, or a guest of this program, you are not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, this Tuesday, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on both Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, PWBT. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. So in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. All right, we are still awaiting D'Ara Kirkpatrick from D'Ara from Detroit, whose new series premieres on BET Plus on Thursday. D'Ara, if you're listening, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you're ready to go on the air, we will get you on. So in the meantime, while we wait for D'Ara to come on, let's pause a little bit for this message from online grocery Sun and Swell. If you haven't heard, Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item, whether it's rolled oats, Braille mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, nuts, mango, whatever, it's 100% vegan or 100% gluten-free and free of added preservatives or ingredients. And by the way, Sun and Swell has already received over 1,000 five-star reviews on various websites. So you know that a lot of people are catching on to the kind of great grocery items that Sun and Swell provide day after day. So if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, just shop Sun and Swell. And when you do, you get 20% off site-wide. And all you got to do for that is to go to sunandswellfoods.com, that's sunandswellfoods.com, and use the promo code TELEVISED, TELEVISED, at checkout. So remember, it's 20% off your entire order, and just use the promo code TELEVISED, TELEVISED, where? At sunandswellfoods.com. That's Sun and Swell Foods, the online grocery that offers you a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. All right. Again, we are awaiting D'Ara Kirkpatrick from D'Ara from Detroit to join us. So, D'Ara, as soon as you are ready to go, give us a call, 646-652-2906. As soon as I see that you are ready to go, I will see you and on my computer screen, and we'll get you right up and running with us. And if anybody from BET or BET Plus is listening, if you can let us know what's going on, if there's been a delay. And lo and behold, as I live and breathe, joining us live from wherever, we'll find out in a moment, the creator, executive producer, and star of the new BET Plus original series, D'Ara from Detroit, D'Ara Kirkpatrick. Hi, D'Ara. Welcome in.
Hey, what up, though? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Where are you calling from?
I am stashed in a hotel room in Los Angeles doing lots of interviews with lovely people like yourself.
Thank you very, very much. And again, D'Ara, thank you for creating the time. So what got into your head to do the kind of a television series that really could go in a bunch of different ways? You could have a woman dealing with divorce, a woman dealing with the city's underworld, a woman dealing with a big rabbit hole she's got herself into, and decide, all right, I'm going to take all these themes and bring them into one series.
Ooh, I love what you just said. This could go a lot of different ways. I feel like growing up in Detroit, you have that feeling a lot. You know, you go to a party and you're like, man, this could go in a lot of different ways. Like, this could end sort of in a good time. This could end sort of with a tragedy. This could end in a lot of different ways. And I feel like something about the city of Detroit inspires that as a tone where you're on that razor's edge and you aren't really sure how it's going to end. And so I think that allows for all these different themes and thematics to come into one story. Divorce, ghosting, mystery. I'm such a fan of the mystery genre, particularly the amateur detective. Read a lot of Nancy Drew growing up, and I never really saw it with a character who was kind of sex positive and who was black and female, and I just wanted to see that all come together.
Yeah, we should point out that there was a missing persons element to this, too, which is sort of, I guess, the way to fulfill the Nancy Drew aspect of it. However, how much of your growing up in Detroit is reflected in this series?
So much of it. I feel like this series is really born of my experiences in Detroit, inspired by situations I've been through or things that happened to my mother. You know, the D.R. Bricklin, the main character, is a teacher. Like, my mother was a Detroit public school teacher. And the opening scene in the pilot where D.R. is being robbed by someone who she actually knows, that's plucked from a real life story of my mom being robbed by one of her friend's sons and having to write that wrong the next day, you know. So it's all these little anecdotes and characterizations from people that I know that I've been able to construct in a fictional story.
What was the road to getting it to BET Plus?
You know, it was a long road in terms of, it's been like maybe 6 years of me developing pilots that I was supposed to star in, and maybe they didn't go my way. But then over the about 2 years ago, Kenya Barris, who is the executive producer extraordinaire of, you know, Black-ish and Mixed-ish and tons of great things, he was going over to BET Studios, and he invited me to come. He was bringing writers who would develop projects exclusively for them, and they said they wanted to do premium content by Black content creators. And I pitched them this idea, and over about 2 years, it took us 2 years to put the show together and shoot it and edit it, and now here we are.
And I believe this is one of the first BET Studio productions in terms of a series.
We are the pioneers. We're the first BET Studios production. We're really proud of that. And it's been a wild ride to get here, and we're just excited that we get to sort of exemplify what the studio can be.
D.R., when you got the green light to do this, did you want it to be one where I want to be the star, I want to be an executive producer, I want to create and write, I want to edit it, I want to be the jack of all trades here? Or did, as you got further and further into actually producing episodes, actually acting in the scripts, and actually filming it, that at some point you felt, I've got to give some of this away to somebody else. I've got to give somebody else the opportunity to be part of this. I can't do there's only so much I can do. There's only so many ways I can wear a hat, or I can turn on from actor to this to that.
That's so funny. It was from the inception, I knew I was going to create the show, star the show, and be on the writing team. It was a lot of work, you know, when you have such a specific voice. You know, I think the head writer always takes the last pass on the scripts, but when you have such a unique voice and you're in a first season show, it really does take a lot of, you know, writing and rewriting to sort of get it to where you want it to be. And you're kind of discovering new stuff as you're going. So it was a lot of work. I definitely was like, whoo, these are a lot of hats. And even as we got more into writing the show, we were being like, we've got to get D.R. out of some scenes, you know, so that I'll be able to sleep at some point in the making of this. So I think, you know, what's been great about it is not only giving myself the opportunity to perform and to be introduced to an audience, but also a lot of the other talented performers. You know, as we knew who we were going to cast, we were able to really write towards their strengths and their talents as well. And everybody has a shining moment in the show. Everybody, you know, we have just an ensemble that I think people are really going to fall in love with. And everyone has their moment in the sun. There's some real standout performances in the show, from Maura Chestnut to Felicia Rashad to other people, who Claudia Logan and John Chafin and Brian Terrell Clark and the amazing Dominique Perry, who I think people are really going to be jazzed to see what they bring.
Do you ever pinch yourself, like, I've got these talents, I've got surrounding me and my character, like a Felicia Rashad, a Morris Chestnut, a John Sally, you know, one of the great local Detroit personalities, you know, former Detroit Pistons star, and everybody else that you've got surrounding you and as actors?
Do I ever think what about them, that they're amazing and wonderful?
Yeah, but also, do you pinch yourself thinking, you know, here's my first real big TV exposure, my first real big TV project, and I'm creating this, and I've got this incredible pool of acting talent surrounding me?
Yeah, I think it just shows, you know, how hungry actors are for fantastic, you know, roles. And I think that Felicia Rashad, she's a legend, you know, and here we are sort of giving her, she's the star of episode 3 in a lot of ways, and she brings the heat, you know. She's funny and she's beautiful in this role. And I think she just was game to come and play and sink her teeth into something that was different. So, yeah, I pinched myself when she showed up. You know, she's so regal. But then also, she's an actor, man. You know, she was ready to go. She had her choices. She wasn't, you know, she was just game. And that's also exciting for me to see as well.
We're speaking with D'Ara Fitzpatrick. She is the star, the creator, and the executive producer of D'Ara from Detroit, the brand-new BET Plus series that premieres on Thursday on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Join us live from Los Angeles this half hour right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Abba with you from New York, 45 degrees, top of the hour. Let's hear you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So bring us into D'Ara's world and how she deals with all of these things at the same time.
Well, that's where her friends come in. You know, she has those friends that are like, what exactly are you doing? And she also has, you know, the character Danger, who's her friend from the neighborhood, who's that, you know, as he keeps saying, he's that thug with a therapist, you know. So he's very well-rounded, but he's seen a lot of sort of some of the street things that go down in the city, and he's able to kind of help her move through some of the dangerous situations that she's finding herself in.
What did you learn about pacing yourself, both as actor, as star, and as executive producer from doing episode after episode? Did you, for example, particularly with storyline, with how your character develops or doesn't develop, what kind of techniques or lessons did you learn along the way?
You mean like pacing myself through the process to have the stamina to move through it, or are you talking about pacing like in terms of crafting the story?
In a way, both. Because here you are, you know, you're in a very, very complex character, and that requires a certain amount of pacing skill. But you're also involved with the storyline, which also has to move at particular paces depending on the situation.
Yeah, well, for the pacing of the story, you know, we really did, in the writer's room, we had a team of really talented, really funny writers, and we sat down at the very beginning and mapped out the arc of the season and when things would be revealed and set up the clue chain and all of that. So I had a lot of help with that. And then in terms of just pacing myself through the production, you know, I just had to learn on the fly. I tried to do my self-care as much as I could. I did the IVs where they give you the Myers cocktails once a week. I tried to stay COVID-free because I knew if I got COVID, I would shut down the whole production, and we didn't want that. So I would do my baths and just try to calm down when I could. But I'm not going to lie, it was a rigorous process, and especially I think when I crafted the dream of writing in something, starring in something, I didn't have a kid yet. So by the time it happened, having a toddler at home made it much more challenging because he didn't care what I was doing. You know, he was ready on Saturday morning to stand on my head and jump on my head at 7 a.m. regardless. So I really just had to kind of dig deep into those energy reserves, and I did a lot of restoration afterwards, if I'm being honest.
We met briefly last June at the Tribeca Film Festival, where the opening episode was screened at the School of Visual Arts Theater, wonderful facility on West 23rd Street in Manhattan. What did you learn from the audience and from the feedback about where the show was going? And did you ultimately, if you were still in production on episodes, did you incorporate any of that feedback into what everybody did?
Oh, man, Tribeca was magical. It was a magical screening. The audience showed us so much love. It was a dream, right, to have the work premiere there and have it be received so warmly. So that felt great. We were wrapped, we were wrapped and we were in the middle of editing when we were at Tribeca. Or actually, we might have even been shut down because of the writer strike. I can't exactly remember. There wasn't any room to kind of go back and change anything. But it was the first sort of preview that people were really going to be excited about it. And that feedback has held up as we've screened it across the country.
And what kind of feedback? What if you could sort of explain a little bit more. What did the audiences really like about the show and about your character?
Oh, well, what I'm finding is that people are really connecting to the kind of real-life relatability of somebody in a tailspin over a ghosting. You know, I think that there's a lot of disconnect out there. I mean, people are trying to find the one. They're on the apps. It's not easy. You would think that with all these people on the planet, it would be easy for us to be in relationship with each other because we have so much practice. But it's not. It's the hardest thing in the world. And I think that people are just really loving these relationships where you see a lot of people. It's not just Diarra looking for Chris, but Diarra in relationship with her friends and with her ex-husband, and they're really just trying to find a way to be in relationship. I think people are also relating to the nostalgia for these kind of private investigator procedurals and murder mysteries, and that there's just such a fresh take on it. I think we've seen these kinds of stories before, you know, Nancy Drew, Harriet the Spy, Murder, She Wrote, but we just haven't seen it with a black cast, and we haven't seen it with a cast that is black in this way. I think a lot of times black shows, they have either it's like the black people who brunch or it's the black people who sell drugs. And a lot of times in the black experience, it's more complicated than that. There's a broader scope of characters and people that live in places like Detroit. And the city itself is a character and is sprawling and has worlds within inside of it. And so the fact that we're tapping into all of that, I think people are being really entertained by something that they haven't quite seen in this way before.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about what your show and your character and the characters will be like if you get a second season?
I have, you know, I try to give my mind a break when I can, but I have, you know, I always imagine that this season was the origin story of a private investigator. You know, Diarra has a pretty good intuition. She's not right about everything. You'll have to tune in to see what she's right and wrong about because she makes a lot of mistakes. But I think that this is something that she's good at. She is onto something. And so I think there will be many cases for her to solve. I think these relationships get juicy and I think they get surprising, and I think it's something that people will want to follow for a long time.
And have you heard back from the people in Detroit? Are they going to welcome you back for a second season? what's been their reaction to the show?
We premiered the show in Detroit, and listen, I cried on the inside 300 times. The only reason I didn't start crying because I knew I wouldn't be able to stop and I had to speak on the panel, okay? It was so beautiful to go home to premiere the show in front of the people who inspired it, you know, and they inspired it. A lot of times people are like, it was tough growing up, and this is a reflection of that. For me, it was all love. It was a lot of love growing up, and this is a reflection of that. And so I got to say thank you in a really big way. And they received the show and our cast with so much warmth. It was beautiful. So we got the Detroit thumbs up. We got the pass there. I think that they would be eager for us to actually shoot there. We shot the majority of the show in New Jersey. So I also got to give them my PSA sales pitch to bring back the tax incentive there so that hopefully more shows and movies can really go home and get that Detroit special sauce on the screen.
I got to ask, where did you film in New Jersey?
We were in Montclair, Patterson, Newark. We were all around.
Because New Jersey is really becoming a major new TV production center. A lot of Netflix is building some studio space there. I think Lionsgate's building studio space there for film and television. There's a real effort, particularly in Newark and some of the other cities you mentioned, to try to bring television and film to those areas in a big way, in a permanent way, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the tax incentives really, really helps. And so we're just hoping that we can bring it back in Michigan so we can have that, our artists have that kind of thriving home as well.
The series is Diara from Detroit. It premiered this Thursday on BET Plus, and it's the first production of BET Studios. You can find BET Plus programming on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. More details about the service online at www.bet.plus. That's www.bet.plus. Diara from Detroit premieres this Thursday on BET Plus. Diara Kilpatrick, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. We really appreciate it. Pleasure to have you on. You are welcome back anytime. Hopefully Thursday marks the beginning of a great super run, not only for BET Plus and your series, but also for what Kenya and everybody at BET Studios is trying to do. And hopefully we'll be seeing and looking at more of their wonderful work down the road.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome, dear. I appreciate you, too. Take care. Have a super week.
Bye-bye. You, too.
Diara Kilpatrick joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, news no quickies, including two, not one, two breaking news items in the last hour. All that, and we'll give you another shot at our classic trivia question with that extra prize twist. Happy pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you're looking for a home for TV wrestling, check out Scoop Slam Radio tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. It's the new internet radio show dealing with the world of television sports entertainment, namely wrestling. Scoop Slam Radio tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to more of this special Tuesday edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming away en vivo from New Weather, York. 46 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Sam, I'm with you live from New York. Again, thank you, Diara Kilpatrick, for making time from a range of interviews that she is doing for her brand-new series, Diara from Detroit, premiering Thursday on BET+. We appreciate it. And we've got some more things to do before we wrap it up for this Tuesday afternoon, starting with this line of News Note quickies, including two breaking news items. We'll have them for you in a moment. First, I want to give you this. The estate of South Africa's first president under an anti-apartheid climate, Nelson Mandela, has given permission to independent writer-producer Josh Wakely for a 30-hour scripted Mandela bio series. Wakely is already developing similar TV series about Muhammad Ali and Bob Dylan. Two breaking news items in the last hour or so. First, Peacock is going to produce a brand-new mystery series called The Good Daughter, starring executive produced by Emmy Award nominee Jessica Biel. Fifth season and made-up stories will be co-producing on it. It's a psychological suspense thriller, and it's based on the best-selling book by Karen Slaughter, of a piece of her fame, who will also be an executive producer and will write all the episodes of this new series, The Good Daughter. It's expected to go on Peacock either late this year or early to mid-2025. And the other bit of breaking news, Amazon Prime Video is looking at reviving the popular game show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And Kansas City Chiefs fame player Travis Kelce may be the host. According to Hollywood Reporter and Variety sources, Kelce is in major discussion with Prime Video, Amazon MGM Studios, about being the host of this new reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Remember, it was on three seasons and two syndicated seasons, three on Fox, two in syndication, starring Jeff Foxworthy. And then Nickelodeon did a version of it on Paramount Plus, starring John Cena. Anyway, we'll keep you posted about how this new redo of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader develops. The long-awaited second season of Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock, reaches Apple TV Plus March 29th. We had the executive producer before the first season started a couple of years ago on this program. You can catch that at blogtalkradio.com/televised, as well as many of our podcast destinations. Geodome is the 2024 South by Southwest Independent Pilot Competition winner. We will try to get the producers of that on a future episode. Three-part Orlando Bloom docuseries To the Edge comes to Peacock on April 18th. British-made drama series Dead Hot will make its U.S. debut on multi-channel bundle Tubi March 27th. And Wanda Sykes, co-creator and showrunner of popular Netflix comedy series The Upstraws, and I understand that she is also a co-star of the network series Chivalry that will be premiering on the week of April 30th. She is going to be receiving a special Writers Guild of America Award on April 14th here in New York. The award is named after the late Saturday Night Live writer, Herb Sargent. And that is News Notes for today. All right. Let's give you one more chance to solve our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced the question yesterday, and this is the first one we've ever done that has an extra prize twist. Now, believe it or not, this is the longest drought we've had in getting a classic trivia question winner. We've been doing this segment now for, believe it or not, and I think it's hard to believe, 8 or so years. And we've had a lot of winners over that time. We have never had a drought of winners like we are having now. It has been about 3.5 months since we've had our last winner late last year. So let's see if we can break the streak, break the drought today. So here's the question. Again, there's a bit, we did a little bit, we did it in the last half hour while we're waiting for D.R. Kilpatrick. So let's do it now. How many actors played Martin Caine, Private Eye? How many actors played Martin Caine, Private Eye? For those who don't know, it is the 1950s television series on NBC, ran from 1949 to 1954, very popular, it was live detective show, and more than one actor played Martin Caine. You can see, by the way, all the actors played Martin Caine. Episodes with each of them are on YouTube. And, of course, they're also known on Wikipedia. So that's the question. How many actors played Martin Caine, Private Eye? We have 7 prizes still in play. They've been in play for quite a while, and they can all be yours with that answer. Now, if you also give us, this is where we have the extra prize twist, if you also give us the names of all the actors who played Martin Caine, and we have to have all the names, and they all have to be correct, you will also win the new best-selling book by James Swanson of Manhunt fame, The Deerfield Massacre, great new historical book. And that can be yours if you include in your answer the names of all the actors who played Martin Caine. So with all that in mind, get your TV trivia smarts exercise. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win our 7 prizes. Add the extra prize twist. You get the extra prize if you come up with the twist. If you're a previous guest on this program or a previous winner of our trivia segments, you're not eligible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question first thing tomorrow, Wednesday morning, on Facebook and Twitter, or X. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook on Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time, here's that question. How many actors played Martin Caine, Private Eye, and for the extra prize, the best-selling book, The Deerfield Massacre by James Swanson of Manhunt fame? Name the actors, all of them, who played Martin Caine. So get in to win today, and all the very best. Before we leave you today, I want to do a quick up as an update on a topic that we had to wrap up yesterday's episode. And that was the news that one of the pioneering TV anchor people here in New York, Bill Jorgensen, passed away at the age of 96. We did a whole tribute to him. I ended it with his famous sign-off, thanking you for your time this time until next time. And what has been very interesting to learn since yesterday is that from the time that the news broke, which was on Facebook first, and then before the weekend on Deadline Hollywood Daily, to now. And I've checked the websites that neither WNYW, that was WAW at the time 10 o'clock news started in 1967, WNYW's website and WPIX's website are not running a single story about Bill Jorgensen and his passing. Not one. And we've been checking Yahoo over and over and over again, and I have yet to see a story about Bill Jorgensen's passing in the New York press, with the exception of the New York Post, and again, on either WNYW, that's Channel 5, or WPX-TV, Channel 11. That, to me, is an outrage. And I really, really hope that there's something I'm missing here. Because, again, we're not just talking about any old anchor person. We are talking about one of the most credible, pioneering, groundbreaking TV anchor people in New York, who presided for 12 years over, by far, the groundbreaking local newscast in prime time, the first hour-long newscast in prime time, and the first hour-long primetime newscast by an independent television station in a major market. Remember, nobody had done this before. As I mentioned yesterday, if you wanted to have news, you had to either do an hour at 6 o'clock in New York or 11 o'clock. That was it. 10 o'clock news changed all that, and Bill Stearns was a big reason why. And what is really remarkable here is that in the past, when some of the other key anchor people at the 10 o'clock news, along with Bill Jorgensen, namely John Rowland and Bill McCreary, both sensational people, both groundbreakers along with Bill, that they were given great tributes on WNYW. So why not Bill Jorgensen? And I get that during his time, Bill was, you might say, quite aloof. I know he had his issues with management, certainly at WNYW or WNYW now. And that doesn't preclude a major tribute to Jorgensen. So I hope, I really hope that whatever is holding WNYW and WNX back from doing something with Bill Jorgensen, stop holding back and do something, because the New York audience that did not grow up with Bill need to know about him, because in his time, he was a groundbreaking, pioneering journalism. We would not have the kind of journalism, we would not have credible journalism, and we would not have primetime newscasts had not been for Bill Jorgensen and what he did with the 10 o'clock news on WNYW, now WNYW, and then Action News and Independent Network News, the first national newscast for small and independent stations, and major independent stations, coast to coast, which he was the anchor for 2 years, in addition to being a local anchor at WPX. So I hope that will be adjusted quicker, not later. I want to thank D.R. Kopacz for joining us today and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, on Friday, our next regularly scheduled episode, we'll lead it off with the co-managing partners of I&E Entertainment, Mark Coops and Eric Day. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcasts. They're available all over the place, 46 in all, and they're all great places to listen from, as well as our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. Love hearing from you. What do you think about the world of TV and D.R. Kopacz's contribution to it? D.R. from Detroit. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you respond, we respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. They're not those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and other carriers of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is content executive. Website service web on Podium. Guitarist Bacus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Online Grocery Sunswell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry pays anytime. Remember, go to sunswellfoods.com, use that promo code TELEVISED, and get 20% off your entire order at checkout. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Join me tomorrow for TV sports commentary on Sports Newswire, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. And we'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Twitter Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. What we're doing now and then, make it safe, make it great. And remember, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. And go all the teams, starting the NCAA men's tournament play tonight with the play-in games, a.k.a. First Four. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.